How does the month of Ramadan affect the international date trade? Well, we're going to tell you. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. But first, our top story. The IMF has reached a long-awaited deal which will provide Ukraine with more than $15 billion. The package is intended to help shore up the Ukrainian economy, which has been hard hit by the Russian invasion. The Ukrainian government said the deal would help to ensure financial and economic stability. Here's the BBC's Mariko Oy.
This still has to be approved by the IMF board, but it is a significant step because, of course, Ukraine's economy has been hit really hard, as we've been watching all the footage from the conflict there. So this money is to support the country to recover gradually once the war comes to an end.
The BBC's Mariko Oy there. Now let's do the numbers. The UK's inflation number rose unexpectedly, up a bit to nearly 10.5%. But the reason why European and Asian stocks are wavering today is because investors have their eye on the Fed's interest rate decision later. Next to Indonesia, and parents whose children died or were injured by contaminated cough syrup have been allowed to take the government and pharmaceutical companies to court. They're seeking millions of dollars in damages. More than 200 Indonesian children have died of acute kidney injury since last year. About 100 deaths have also been reported in the Gambia and Uzbekistan. Rebecca Kesby spoke to Vladia Baraputri, reporter for BBC Indonesia.
This lawsuit is a class action brought up by a group of 25 parents whose child either died or injured because of the cough syrup contamination that led to acute kidney injuries in their children. So they asked for compensation from the Indonesian government and companies and pharmaceutical suppliers of almost $200,000 for every child killed and about $130,000 for every child injured. What they are actually wanting here in the class action is accountability from those parties.
So the court has ruled that this can be heard and various agents are up for potential legal action against them in Indonesia, as you say. But this does have an international element because we know that there have been similar cases in the Gambia and also in Uzbekistan where children have been affected. Where does this all come from? Why was the cough mix so lethal in some cases?
I spoke to the Indonesian police who led an investigation on this. They found that the cause of this whole tragedy is global, which was the scarcity of the solvent material used in syrupy drugs called propylene glycol. But the crime is local. So basically, suppliers in Indonesia relabeled the industrial grade solvent material as pharmaceutical grade solvent material, and then they supply that to pharmaceutical companies or other suppliers that produce these drugs. That is the main cause of the situation in Indonesia, but they haven't found the evidence of transnational crime and whether this has links with other cases in other countries. The cause is global, but the crime is local. That's what they said.
Okay. But for the parents, I mean, the thought that you yourself gave your child something you thought would make them feel better, and actually it's what led to terrible illness or even death. I mean, that's why this must be so emotive for the parents involved.
That's true. They always come to the court wearing t-shirt that says, I thought it was medicine, but it was poison. The parents who talk to me, they all get their medicine for their children from health institutions, and they're all sick with the same cause. The Indonesian government, including the Health Ministry and Food and Drug Agency of Indonesia, have maintained their position as responsible parties in this situation. But the parents who came forward with this class action lawsuit want their accountability of why this could happen.
Vladia Baraputri from BBC Indonesia. Now, we're approaching the Islamic holy month of Ramadan, the period where observant Muslims abstain from food and drink during the hours of daylight. It's also one of the most important months for businesses catering to the Muslim community across the globe. Dates are in big demand during the month because they are the go-to food for Muslims when they break their fast. The businesses who produce this fruit are largely based in the Middle East and Africa, Egypt being the number one exporter of dates. It's predicted the industry could be worth nearly $25 billion by the year 2026, as the BBC's Nasser Hanif reports.
This shop in the north of England is getting itself ready for Ramadan. As you enter, large boxes of dates are on display right in front of you.
We have Saudi dates here. Then we have the Palestinian dates here, which are medjool dates. Then we have the Algerian dates. Then we got the Ajwa dates. The specialist about the ones we got here is they're filled with almonds and cardamoms. My name is Sajid Hussain. I'm the director of Abu Bakr Limited. It's a set of supermarkets we have in Leeds. The traditional Tunisian dates are normally very, very fussling, because one is for the price, and also every year before the Ramadan, these date companies, they make sure that the dates are the new crop.
For Muslims, Ramadan without dates is unthinkable. The good news is that dates are one of the few food items in the UK that hasn't gone up in price this year. The average price remains at between £5 and £6 a kilo. That is because there's a trade agreement in place with Egypt, where most of the dates are imported from, to keep prices stable. Jonathan Wilson is a professor of brand strategy and culture at Regent's University in the City of London. He's the author of a book on halal branding. He says people have become much more interested in where in the world their dates actually come from.
For many, the provenance is as important as the variety, and they will check whether there's any additional story or course connected with them that they would like to support. Local independent grocers and entrepreneurs have been really good at recognising this aspect.
During Ramadan, Muslims are encouraged to give to charity. A campaign called the Date Project has been launched in the city of Manchester in the north of England to help people in poorer parts of the world.
My name is Yusuf Farhat, and I am the Senior Operations Manager for Global Rahma Foundation. Our aim is to empower the local businesses on the ground. Let's just take, for example, the Syrian and Palestinian refugees who have been displaced in Lebanon. We'll go to a local farmer there who grows the dates, and also we'll go to a local printers that are in need of business.
Date production is a massive global industry. In 2021, more than 8 million tons were produced during Ramadan. Egypt is the world's top date supplier, producing nearly 1 in 5 of the world's dates.
I am Ramadan El Sayed. I am working as export manager for the company Palm Hills Dates in Egypt.
He says they have faced a number of challenges over the last year.
Supply chain affected by the war in Ukraine and Russia. Our agent asking us something like insurance, because it is dangerous, yani, for ships going to the countries neighbouring to Ukraine, to Russia.
Date producers in Egypt say trade agreements have helped them export more easily to Europe and the UK. Going forward, they think dates should be eaten as a healthy fruit all year round, and not just during months like Ramadan.
We are trying to change type of medjool dates, not just for Muslim person. Other person can eat it as a nutrition.
If date producers do end up broadening the appeal of the fruit, it could lead to a bigger boost in trade for countries like Egypt and an increase in employment. I'm Nasser Hanif for Marketplace.
And for the first time ever, celebratory Ramadan lights are illuminating Piccadilly Circus this month in the heart of London's West End. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.